Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Beit Gan Eden. We're doing it all online and at home today. God bless you all. We're doing Parasha number... what have I got written there? Oh, Parasha 13, of course. Shemot. So we're into the book of Exodus. And the story really starts getting into... I can't hear my... Okay, and the story gets really interesting at this point. But tomorrow we'll be doing the drash, and we've got John on the desk, and I'll be there shortly. So bless you all, and I think we're right, we will sing. It is Shabbat.
Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat.
Just his way. up to the door. Come and go up to the mountain, we will teach us the way. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the door. Come and go up to the mountain, we will teach us the way. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the door. Come and go up to the mountain, we will teach us the way. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the door. Come and go up to the mountain, we will teach us the way. Rise and shake the earth, oh mightily, send your glory all across the land. Let everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the throne of man. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord. Come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us the way. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord. Come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his way. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord. Come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his way. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord. Come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his way. Over all the glory, there will be a covering, cloud of smoke all through the day. Flaming fire all through the night, tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, to the blood of the fire.
Adonai Shir Hadash Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz Shiru Ladonai Shir Hadash Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz Adonai Baruchu Shemo Bifru Miyom Leyom Yeshua Tov Shiru Ladonai Shir Chadash Shiru Ladonai Shir Chadash Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz Adonai Shir Chadash Shiru Ladonai Kol Ha'aretz Shiru Ladonai ברכו שמו, בשרו מיום ליום ישועתו. שירו לאדוני שיר חדש.
Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Bless his name and proclaim from day to day his salvation.
Shiru l'Adonai. Shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz. Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash. Oh, shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz. Shiru l'Adonai baruch shemo. בשרו מיום ליום ישועתו. שירו לאדוני שיר חדש. שירו לאדוני ברכו שמו. בשרו מיום ליום ישועתו. שירו לאדוני שיר חדש. שירו לאדוני שיר חדש. שיר
you are.
Adonai Eloheha, the whole of our heart, who become that Shepherd, who become Adonai Eloheha, the whole of our heart, who before me,
for Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malakuto, Leolam Vayed.
He, O Israel, Yehovah Elohim,
Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen.
Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha uv'kol nafshecha uv'kol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot.
Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeshua the Messiah. He is Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, bless you everyone, all those who are watching online, and a special blessing to Jacqueline and Jot that have come all the way down to help us today and be with us for this service so that we could run it. And we welcome all those that are watching live stream. Those that are usually sitting in on the service and all those that are usually listening in on the service. So I'm not going to be able to mention all of you, so I will just mention those that I normally mention. So welcome to Kathy in California, Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad, Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, also to Michael and to Kathleen in Kentucky, Victoria in Qatar, and to Michael from Florida and his family in Florida. Also in Australia, we've got Heather in Perth. Welcome to you. South Australia, Annette and Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan, Betty in Adelaide. Welcome to Katrina, watching in Port Pirie. And to Lucia in Victoria. Welcome to Ivana and Lucas in Victoria as well. To Lyndon, Leah and family in Bega. Also to Jan in Sydney, Kerry and David in Tamworth, Sue in Maxville, Deborah and Casino. Also to Ivory, Raquel, Malachi, Micah, Gabriel, Zambia in Balambul, or are you at Bonalbo? I'm not too sure whether you've moved yet. So welcome to you. Also in Queensland, we've got Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia, Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hinani and Sandor in Fernvale, Sherelle, Colin and Maidenwell, to Vivian, Diane and Daniel in Scarborough. Welcome to you, Melody in Sandgate. To Joe, Lonya, Yola, Yamina and Ella at Kalanga. Carol on Neck in Brisbane. Harry in Brisbane. Tana and Sandy in Brisbane. Haley in Brisbane. Ingrid in Brisbane. To Usha, Isabel, Angie and Jacob in Brisbane. Jeremy in Brisbane. Richard on Russell Island. Don in Canubia. Kelly in Beanley. Wendy and Peter in Logan. Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba, Tracy in Upper Coomera. Tracy, we are praying for your son. Also to Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella at Coomera. To Naomi at Oxenford, Irene at Talai. To Jeff at Service Paradise, Mary Ann, Faye, Carol, Eric and Melissa, Lisa, Joy, Raywin here on the Gold Coast. I'm sure Raquel is watching on the Gold Coast as well, so welcome to you. And all of those that that I haven't mentioned, please forgive me. So I know children are watching online today, so let us pray for the children. How many? 12.
Rona, Malik.
Yeah, I said them. Who else? Have I missed anyone?
I can see.
Okay, let us pray for the children. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children, and we pray that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls here, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives, they'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that all of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us all pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the Kedavah HaShelakim. Blessed are you, Yod of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, for our Mishpachah or family memos this week, I believe the dinner went well. Sorry, we've got a dog in the house. the people and the other side made a noise. The people, the family, the Shab and Raquel's dinner went well last night, so we're here, so that's a blessing. Also, the men's monthly dinner will be on the first Tuesday, the 4th of January, but I'm not too sure where they're having it at this stage. But I'm sure Minister Malachy will find out for us by next week. Now, the ladies' morning tea will probably be on the second Thursday, but I'm not too sure. It could be shifted to the third this month, which will be either on the 13th of January or the 14th or the 20th of January. But as long as it happens before school goes back is my main point, so that all those that go back to, you know, the teachers can be here as well. Now, we're going to hold it here at my home at 10:30 a.m. and I will provide all the food on that day, and hopefully Malachy will be our barista. I've got to work on him on that. Next Shabbat is our 24th year at Beit Gunned and Messianic Community, so that's a milestone for us and a blessing that we've been able to go this long. So this is our last service of our 23rd year today. In the newsletter, we've got an article out of Yerushalayim Messianic Kehila asking the question whether Miriam and Yeshua, they say Mary and Jesus, lit Hanukkah candles, and the reason goes on to the reason why they didn't. It didn't exist in those days. Also, proof that the Queensland government is exaggerating the number of jabbed in our state. Apparently, most people are jab-free. So that's unusual to what we hear on the mainstream media. Israel, they've had more attacks from the Palestinians on the West Bank, for those that cross over the West Bank into Israel all the time this week, so that's been continuing. So that's all we've got today. I haven't heard from Myanmar this week, but I will try and contact Pastor John through the week. So let us pray for Israel. Abba Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day. No matter where they might be in the diaspora or it's Israel, Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon, right through to this very day. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land in this past week. Abba, we cry out to you for your protection for all of your people as these conflicts continue. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people, and we know from your word in Yekeskel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they will live in complete security and safety. And we also know, Abba, that this applies to the lands your people are dispersed into at this time. So we claim this word for them as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by terror in their lives, especially those that are suffering from the COVID and the forceful lockdowns, the mass vaccinations and all those sort of things that people are being tortured and terrorised into. And we pray, Abba Father, that you'll be with those that have been in the many wars in the Middle East and travelled from the diaspora and have been called up into those wars over the past 20 years. We also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they might be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish. And we know from your word in Yekeskel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we pray that you will send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way that you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from Euphrates River to the Vardy of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people live in the land which you gave their ancestors, that you will be the Elohim and they will be your people. And we know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. And we pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora. We pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land. We ask that you break the power of Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives. And we pray break the power of the evil one, who continues to work at wiping Israel off the map at this moment. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamayo, Selangayang District of Myanmar. Abba, we thank you that Pastor John and his wife and family and all the 16 orphans are safe at this time. We thank you for their continued praise and worship of you on Shabbat. We pray for their continued protection, for their health and all their sustenance needs be met. Abba, you know their needs and you know their situation, as well as the situation in their country. We pray that normalcy will return to their country very soon, and we ask that you be with them to nurture and protect them, especially during this military lockdown they are going through at present, Abba, and we just ask that you'll give them the assurance that no weapon formed against them will prosper and that you are in complete control. We ask this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. Today we're reading from Parashah 13, which is Shemot, which means names. It's plural for name. We're reading from the Torah, will be from Shemot, or Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 1. The Haftarah, or the prophets, will be reading from Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, chapter 27, verse 6 to 28, verse 13, and chapter 29, verses 22 and 23. And the writings of the apostles today will be read from Matityahu chapter 22, verses 22 to 33, 22 verses 41 to 46, to Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, Acts chapter 7, verses 17 to 36, Acts chapter 20, 16, Acts chapter 24, 14 to 16, and Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 11, 23 to 26. So let us pray for the word. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam. Acheh b'kabanu mikal ha'amin v'natanenu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'torah b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu ha'ol la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, give of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
First one. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came into Egypt with Yaakov. Each man came with his household. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All told, there were 70 descendants of Yaakov. Yosef was already in Egypt. Yosef died, as all his brothers and all that generation. The descendants of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied and grew very powerful. The land became filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt. He knew nothing about Yosef, but said to his people, "Look, the descendants of Israel have become a people too numerous and powerful for us. Come, let's use wisdom in dealing with them." Otherwise, they'll continue to multiply, and in the event of war, they might ally themselves with our enemies, fight against us, and leave the land altogether. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built for Pharaoh the storage cities of Pithom and Ramses. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded, until the Egyptians came to dread the people of Israel, and worked to them relentlessly, making their lives bitter with hard labor, digging clay, making bricks, all kinds of field work. And in all this toil they were shown no mercy. Moreover, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was called Shiphrah and the other one Puah. When you attend the Hebrew women and see them giving birth, he said, if it's a boy, kill him, but if it's a girl, let her live. However, the midwives were Elohim-fearing women, so they didn't do as the king of Egypt ordered, but let the boys live.
The king of Egypt summoned the midwives and demanded of them, why have you done this and let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, it's because the Hebrew women aren't like Egyptian women. They go into labor and give birth before the midwife arrives. Therefore, Elohim prospered the midwives, and the people continued to multiply and grow very powerful. Indeed, because the midwives feared Elohim, he made them founders of families. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, every boy that is born, throw in the river. But let all the girls live. A man from the family of Levi took a woman also descended from Levi as his wife. When she conceived and had a son, upon seeing that what a fine child he was, she hid him for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took a papyrus basket coated in clay and tar and put the child in it and placed it amongst the reeds in a riverbank. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river. While him maids in attendance walked along the riverside, spotting the basket among the reeds. She sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and looked inside, and there in front of her was a crying baby boy. Moved with pity, she said, this must be one of the Hebrews' children. At this point, his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, would you like me to go and find you one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Pharaoh's daughter answered, yes, go. So the girl went and called the baby's own mother. Pharaoh's daughter told her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will pay you for doing it. So the woman took the child and nursed it, and then the child had grown some. She brought it to Pharaoh's daughter, and she began to raise him as her son. She called him Moshe, pulled out, explaining, because I pulled him out of the water. One day when Moshe was a grown man, he went out to visit his kinsmen, and when he watched them struggling at forced labor, he saw an Egyptian strike a Hebrew, one of his kinsmen. He looked this way and that, and when he saw no one was around, he killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. To the one in the wrong, he said, why are you hitting your companion? He retorted, who appointed you ruler and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian? Moshe became frightened. Clearly, he thought, the matter has become known. When Pharaoh heard of it, he had tried to have Moshe put to death. But Moshe fled from Pharaoh to live in the land of Midian. One day, as he was sitting by a well, the seven daughters of the priests of Midian came up to draw water. They had filled their troughs to water their father's sheep. And the shepherds came and tried to drive them away, but Moshe got up and defended them. Then he went and watered their sheep. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how come you back so soon today? They answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. More than that, he drew water for us and watered the sheep. He asked his daughters, where is he? Why did you leave the man there? Invite him to come and have something to eat. Moshe was glad to stay with the man. And he gave Moshe his daughter Zipporah in marriage. She gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, foreigner there, for he said, I have been a foreigner in a foreign land. Sometime during those many years, the king of Egypt died. But the people of Israel still groaned under the yoke of slavery. They cried out, and their cry for rescue from slavery came up to Elohim. Elohim heard their groaning, and Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Elohim saw the people of Israel, and Elohim acknowledged them.
Now, Moshe was tending the sheep of Yithro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock to the far side of the desert, he came to the mountain of Elohim, to Horeb. The angel of Jehovah appeared to him in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, the bush was not being burned up. Moshe said, I'm going to go over to see this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't being burned up. When Jehovah saw that he had gone over to see, Elohim called to him from the middle of the bush, Moshe, Moshe. He answered, Here I am. He said, Don't come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the Elohim of your father, he continued, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov. Moshe covered his face because he was afraid to look at Elohim. Jehovah said, I have seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt and heard their cry for release from their taskmasters, because I know their pain. I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that country to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Kenani, Hitti, Emori, Perizzi, Hivi and Yavusi. Yes, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen how terribly the Egyptians oppressed them. Therefore, now, come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you can lead my people, the descendants of Israel, out of Egypt. Moshe said to Elohim, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? He replied, I will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that when you have led the people out of Egypt, you will worship Elohim on this mountain. Moshe said to Elohim, Look, when I appear before the people of Israel and say to them, The Elohim of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What am I to tell them? Elohim said to Moshe, Ayeh Asher Ayeh, and added, Here is what you are to say to the people of Israel. Ayeh has sent me to you. Elohim said further to Moshe, Say this to the people of Israel, Yehovah, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered generation after generation. Go, gather the leaders of Israel together and say to them, Yehovah, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, has appeared to me and said, I have been paying close attention to you and have seen what is being done to you in Egypt. And I have said that I will lead you up out of the misery of Egypt into the land of the Canaani, Hitti, Emori, Perizzi, Hivi, and Yavusi, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will heed what you say. Then you will come, and the leaders of Israel... Then you will come, you and the leaders of Israel, before the king of Egypt, and you will tell him, Jehovah, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please, let us go 3 days' journey into the desert, so that we can sacrifice to Jehovah our Elohim. I know that the king of Egypt will not let you leave unless he is forced to do so, but I will reach out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders that I will do there. After that, he will let you go. Moreover, I will make the Egyptians so well disposed toward this people that when you go, you won't go empty-handed. Rather, all the women will ask their neighbors and house guests for silver and gold jewelry and clothing with which you will dress your own sons and daughters. In this way you will plunder the Egyptians. Moshe replied, "But I'm certain they won't believe me, and they won't listen to what I have to say, because they'll say, 'Yehovah did not appear to you.'" Yehovah answered him, "What is it? What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." He said, "Throw it on the ground." And he threw it on the ground. It turned into a snake, and Moshe recoiled from it. Then Yehovah said to Moshe, "Put your hand out and take it by the tail." He reached out with his hand and took hold of it, and it became a staff in his hand. This is so that they will believe that Yehovah, the Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov, has appeared to you. Furthermore, Yehovah said to him, "Now put your hand inside your coat." He put his hand in his coat, and when he took it out, it was leprous as white as snow. Then Elohim said, "Now put your hand back in your coat." He put his hand back in his coat, and when he took it out, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. If they won't believe you or heed the evidence of the first sign, they will be convinced by the second. But if they aren't persuaded even by both these signs and still won't listen to what you say, then take some water from the river and pour it on the ground. The water you take from the river will turn into blood on dry land. Moshe said to Yehovah, "Oh, Yehovah, I'm a terrible speaker. I always have been, and I'm no better now, even after you've spoken to your servant. My words come slowly, my tongue moves slowly." Yehovah answered him, "Who gives a person a mouth? Who makes a person dumb or deaf, keen-sighted or blind? Isn't it I, Yehovah? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what to say." But he replied, "Please, Lord, send someone else, anyone you want." At this, Yehovah's anger blazed up against Moshe. He said, "Don't you have a brother, Aaron the Levi? I know that he's a good speaker. In fact, here he is now coming out to meet you, and he'll be happy to see you. You will speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and his, teaching you both what to do. Thus he will be your spokesman to the people, in effect, for you, and he will be a mouth, and for him you will be like Elohim. Now take this staff in your hand, because you need it to perform the signs."
Moshe left and returned to Yitro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "I beg you to let me go and return to my kinsmen in Egypt to see if they are still alive." Yitro and Moshe said to Moshe, "Go in peace." Yehovah said to Moshe in Midian, "Go on back to Egypt, because all the men who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moshe took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and started out for Egypt. Moshe took Elohim's staff in his hand. Yehovah said to Moshe, "When you get back to Egypt, make sure that you do before Pharaoh every one of the wonders I have enabled you to do. Nevertheless, I am going to make him hard-hearted, and he will refuse to let the people go. Then you are to tell Pharaoh, 'Yehovah says, Israel is my firstborn son. I have told you to let my son go in order to worship me, but you have refused to let him go. Well then, I will kill your firstborn son.' At a lodging place on the way, Yehovah met Moshe and would have killed him had not Zipporah taken a flint stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. She threw it at his feet, saying, 'What a bloody bridegroom you are for me.' But then Elohim let Moshe be. He added, 'A bloody bridegroom because of the circumcision.'" Yehovah said to Yehovah, "Go into the desert to meet Moshe. He will meet him at the mountain of Elohim and kiss." And he met him at the mountain of Elohim and kissed him. Moshe told him everything Yehovah had said in sending him, including all the signs he had ordered him to perform. Then Moshe and Aaron went and gathered together all the leaders of the people of Israel. Aaron said everything Jehovah had told Moshe, who then performed the signs for the people to see. The people believed, but they heard that Jehovah had remembered the people of Israel and seen how they were oppressed. They bowed their heads and worshipped.
After that, Moshe and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Here is what Jehovah, the Elohim of Israel, said. Let my people go so that they can celebrate a festival in the desert to honor me." But Pharaoh replied, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey when he said to let Israel go? I don't know Jehovah, and I also won't let Israel go." They said, "The Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert, so that we can sacrifice to Jehovah our Elohim. Otherwise, he may strike us with a plague or with a sword." The king of Egypt answered them, "Moshe and Aaron, what do you mean by taking the people away from their work? Get back to your labor." "Look," Pharaoh added, "the population of the land has grown, yet you are trying to have them stop working." That same day, Pharaoh ordered the taskmaster and the people's foreman, "You are no longer to provide straw for the bricks the people are making, as you did before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but you will require them to produce the same quantity of bricks as before. Don't reduce it, because they're lazying around. This is why they're crying. Let us go and sacrifice to our Elohim. Give these people harder work to do that will keep them too busy to pay attention to speeches full of lies." The people's taskmaster went out, their foreman too, and said to the people, "Here is what people say. I will no longer give you straw. You go yourself and get straw wherever you can find it, but your output is not to be reduced." So the people were dispersed throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmaster kept praising them, "Keep working. Make your daily quota." Just as when straw was provided, the foreman of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmaster had appointed to be over them, were plagued and asked, "Why haven't you fulfilled your quota of bricks yesterday and today, as you did formerly?" When the foreman of the people of Israel came and complained to Pharaoh, "Why are you treating your servant this way? Now straw is given to your servants, yet they keep telling us to make bricks, and now your servants are being flogged. But the fault lies with your own people." "Lazy," he retorted. "You're just lazy, that's why you say. Let us go and sacrifice to Jehovah. Get going now and get back to work. No straw will be given to you, and you will still deliver the full amount of bricks." When they said, "You are not to reduce your daily production quota of bricks," the foreman of the people of Israel could see that they were in deep trouble. As they were leaving Pharaoh, they encountered Moshe and Aaron standing by the road, and they said to them, "May Jehovah look at you and judge accordingly, because you have made us utterly abhorrent in the view of Pharaoh and his servants, and you have put a sword in their hands to kill us." Moshe returned to Jehovah and said, "Jehovah, why have you treated these people so terribly? What has been the value of sending me? Forever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has dealt terribly with these people, and you haven't rescued your people at all."
Who's got the maftia?
Hello. Yehovah said to Moshe, "Now you will see what I am going to do to Pharaoh. With a mighty hand he will send them off, with force he will drive them from the land." Haftarah Shemot Yeshayahu 27 verse 6, 28-30. The time is coming when Yaakov will take root. Israel will bud and flower and fill the whole world with harvest. Yehovah will not strike Israel as he did others who struck Israel. He will not kill them as he did the others. Your controversy with her is fully resolved by sending her into exile. He removes her with a rough gust of wind on a day with its blowing from the east. So iniquity of Yaakov is atoned for by this, and removing this sin produces this result. He chops up all the altar stones like chalk, sacred falls on sand. Pillars stand no more, for the fortified city is alone, abandoned and deserted like the desert. Calves graze and lie down there, stripping its branches bare when its harvest dries up. It is broken up when woman come and set it on fire, for this is the people without understanding. Therefore, he who made them will not pity them. He who formed them will show them no mercy. On that day, Yehovah will beat out the grain between the Euphrates River and the Wadi of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, people of Israel. On that day, a great shofar will sound. Those lost in the land of Ashur will come. Also, those scattered through the land of Egypt, and they will worship Yehovah on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. Who to the haughty crown of Ephraim's drunk, to the fading flower of its proud splendor, located at the head of the rich valley, belonging to people overcome by wine. Yehovah has someone strong and powerful. He comes like a hailstorm, a destructive tempest, like a flood of water rushing overwhelming with his hand. He hurls them to the ground. The haughty crowd of Ephraim's drunk is trampled underfoot. And the fading flower of its proud splendor, located at the head of the rich valley, is like the first ripe fig of summer. Whoever sees it picks and eats it. On that day, Yehovah Sabaoth will be glorious crowned, a brilliant diadem for the remnant of his people. He will also be a spirit of justice for whoever sits as a judge, and a source of strength for those repelling enemy attacks at the gate. But there are others reeling from wine, staggering about because of strong liquor. Kohen and prophet reel from strong liquor. They are confused by wine, led astray by strong liquor. They err in their vision and stumble when judging. All tables are covered with vomit and feces. Not a single place is clean. Can no one be taught anything? Can no one understand the message? Must one teach barely weaned toddlers? Toddler's baby just take from the breast, so that one has to use nursery rhyme. Zavlat sav, kavlachav, ze'er sham. Precept by precept, line by line, a little here and a little there. So with stammering lips in a foreign accent, Yehovah will speak to these people. He once told these people, "It's time to rest. The exhausted can rest. Now you can relax." But they wouldn't listen. So now the word of Yehovah for them comes precept by precept, line by line, a little here, a little there. So that when they walk, they stumble backward and are broken, trapped and captured. Isaiah 29:22-23. Therefore, here are the words of Yehovah, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Yaakov. Yaakov will no longer be ashamed, no longer will his face grow pale. When his descendants see the work of my hands among them, they will consecrate my name. Yes, they will consecrate the Holy One of Yaakov, and stand in awe of the Elohim of Israel.
Ketavi Ha Shalakim, the writings of the apostles Shemot, Matiyahu, Matthew 22:23-33. That same day, Sadukum, seducers, approached, and they were saying to him, "There is no resurrection for the dead." And they said to him, "Rabbi, Moshe said, if a man dies childless, his brother is to marry his widow and have children to preserve the man's family line." There were seven brothers. The first one married and then died. And since he had no children, he left his widow to his brother. The same thing happened to the second brother and the third, and finally to all seven. After them all, the woman died. Now in the resurrection of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all married her. Yeshua answered them, "The reason you go astray is that you are ignorant of both the Tanakh and of the power of Elohim. For in the resurrection of the dead they do not take wives, neither do they have wives, but they are like angels in heaven. And as for whether the dead are resurrected, haven't you read that Elohim said to you, 'I am the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov.' He is Elohim, not of the dead, but of the living." When the crowds heard how he taught, they were astounded. Matiyahu, Matthew 22:41-46. Now, while the Perushim were assembled, Yeshaya put a Shelila question to them. "Tell them, what do you say about the Messiah? Who is he the son of?" They were saying to him, "The son of David." He said to them, How did David in the Spirit call him Master Jehovah? For he said, "That Master Jehovah said to my Master, 'If you sit here at my right hand until I place your enemies under your feet.' Therefore, if David calls him Master Jehovah, how is he his son?" And no man was able to give him an answer, and no man dared to put him under another she'ila from that time on.
Acts 3:2-15. Seeing this, Caiaphas addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as if we had made this man walk through some power or godliness of our own? The Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the Elohim of our fathers, has glorified his servant Yeshua, the same Yeshua you handed over and disowned before Pilate, even after he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and innocent one, and instead asked for the reprieve of a murderer. You killed the author of life." Acts 5:27-32. They conducted them to the Sanhedrin, where the Kohen HaGadol demanded of them, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Look here, you have filled Yerushalayim with your teachings. Moreover, you are determined to make us responsible for this man's death." Kepha and the other missionaries answered, "We must obey Elohim, not men. The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whereas you men killed him by having him hanged on a stake. Elohim has exalted this man at his right hand as ruler and savior, so as to enable repentance and give forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses to this things. So is the Ruach HaKodesh, whom Elohim has given to those who obey him."
7, verse 17 to 36. As the time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise Elohim had made to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt increased greatly, until there arose another king over Egypt, who had no knowledge of Yosef. With cruel cunning, this man forced our fathers to put their newborn babies outside their homes so that they would not survive. It was then that Moshe was born, and he was beautiful in Elohim's sight. For 3 months he was reared in his father's house, and when he was put out of his home, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. So Moshe was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and became both a powerful speaker and a man of action. But when he was 40 years old, the thought came to him to visit his brother Israelites. On seeing one of them being mistreated, he went to his defense and took revenge by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed his brothers would understand that Elohim was using him to rescue them, but they didn't understand. When he appeared the next day, as they were fighting, and tried to make peace between them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" The one who was mistreating his fellow pushed Moshe away and said, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me the way you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" On hearing this, Moshe fled the country and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. After 40 more years, an angel appeared to him in the desert near Mount Sinai in the flames of a burning thorn bush. When Moshe saw this, he was amazed at the sight, and as he approached to get a better look, there came the voice of Jehovah, "I am the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov." But Moshe trembled with fear and didn't dare to look. Jehovah said to him, "Take off your sandals, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have clearly seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt. I have heard their cry, and I have come down to rescue them, and now I will send you to Egypt." This Moshe, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge?" is the very one whom Elohim sent as both ruler and ransomer by means of the angel that appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Acts 22, verse 12 to 16. A man named Hananiah, an observant follower of the Torah, who was highly regarded by the entire Jewish community there, came to me, stood by me, and said, "Brother Shaul, see again." And at that very moment I recovered my sight and saw him. He said, "The Elohim of our fathers determined in advance that you should know this, his will. See the tzaddik and hear his voice, because you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. So now, what are you waiting for? Get up, immerse yourself, and have your sins washed away as you call on his name." Acts 24, verse 14 to 16. "But this I do admit to you, I worship the Elohim of our fathers in accordance with the way, which they call a sect. I continue to believe everything that accords with the Torah and everything written in the prophets. And I continue to have a hope in Elohim, which they too accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Indeed, it is because of this that I make a point of always having a clear conscience in the sight of both Elohim and man."
By trusting the parents of Moshe hid him for 3 months, and after he was born, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they weren't afraid of the king's decree. By trusting Moshe after he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with Elohim's people rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. He had come to regard abuse suffered on behalf of the Messiah as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he kept his eyes fixed on the reward.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher netanenu Torah emet v'chayah b'dikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, ha'ol la'olam, amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the Lord of the world. Amen. Well, we just jumped 400 years from last week to this week, and first thing they did was observe the Shabbat. Isn't that awesome? That's what we're doing today. So before I start my message, let us pray. Abba Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes that we can see the wondrous things from your word this day. And may the words of my mouth and the presence of and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock, you are my redeemer, and I give you glory for every word that you have given me for the people today. I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So the title of my message is Yeshua's death gave us power over our enemies. We've got a lot of enemies at the moment. We are fighting a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual battle. We can't see it. It's all around us. And many of us are suffering with loss of jobs, loss of work, loss of life, illness. So many things are happening at the moment. And so this is what we have to realize, that it's Yeshua's death that gives us the power over everything that we are going through at the moment. So let us have a look at quite a few scriptures to start with. I'm going to start with Shemot, Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. When Yehovah saw that he had gone over to see Elohim, Elohim called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moshe, Moshe." He answered, "Here I am." He said, "Don't come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground." This is repeated in Yehoshua as they are about to enter into the promised land. In Yehoshua chapter 5 verses 13 to 15. "One day when Yehoshua was there by Jericho, he raised his eyes and looked, and in front of him stood a man with his drawn sword in his hand. Yehoshua went over to him and asked, 'Are you on our side or you are on our enemies?' 'No,' he replied, 'I am the commander of Yehovah's army. I have come just now.' Yehoshua fell down with his face to the ground and worshipped him, then asked, 'What does my Lord have to say to his servant?' The commander of Yehovah's army answered Yehoshua, 'Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy.' And Yehoshua did so." And further down in Yehoshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, "Jericho had completely barricaded its gates against the people of Israel. No one left and no one entered. Yehovah said to Yehoshua, 'I have handed Jericho over to you, including its kings and his warriors. You are to encircle the city with all your soldiers and march around it once. Do this for 6 days. 7 Kohanim are to carry 7 shofars in front of the ark. On the 7th day you are to march around the city 7 times, and the Kohanim will blow the shofars. They are to blow a long blast on the shofar. On hearing the sound of the shofar, all the people are to shout as loudly as they can, and the wall of the city will fall straight down. Then the people are to go into the city, each one straight from where he stands. And let us now move to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, grow powerful in union with Elohim, in union with his mighty strength. It was his mighty strength that allowed that wall to collapse at Jericho. When Yehovah spoke from the throne model of the ark, it was from an atonement perspective. The throne coupled with atonement means something really powerful. Why is a throne associated with atonement? I'm glad you asked. It means that the words Yah spoke to help Israel were allowed to be spoken to all because they were atoned or reconciled to Yehovah. Just as in the most holy place, Yah speaks to Moshe as he entered holy ground, and instead of the ark, the burning bush, his origin of speech, and since the burning bush was where Yah spoke of himself using Moshe and delivering Israel through Moshe, we see the atonement idea. Yehovah can only do something through us if we are one with him. We have to be in line with everything he wants from us. If sin separated us from him, then he could not use us unless that sin was removed. And once sin is removed, we are then vehicles for Yehovah's kingdom. And that's what Yehovah told Moshe. He told Moshe he would deliver Israel personally using Moshe. But Moshe had to submit himself to Yehovah first. Can we go to the slide of the burning bush? The burning bush not only stood in the place of an atonement ark of the covenant, where we see a picture of the throne of Yehovah on earth, but the branches of the burning bush show attached branches to a single unit, and the base of that single unit is not burning. It never burns out. The emphasis of the bush that it was not burning out or being destroyed. The time Yehovah spoke to Moshe at the burning bush was after Moshe had abandoned all hope of ever doing a work for Yah, and it gives us a message. We have to realize that our kingdom union to Yeshua, and then let Yehovah teach us how we can work through us in his power, so that we will not burn out. We have to be attached to him so that we will not burn out. Burnout in ministry is very common, especially when it gets to the 5 years mark. Next week, we will be celebrating our 24th year of Parashah readings, or of Beit Gan Eden Messianic Community being a ministry. No, Minister Malachi and I are still very strong and feeling no level of burnout at this stage. I can't say what will happen in 10 years' time when we're both in our late 80s, but at this stage, we're fine. What causes you not to be able to take it anymore or burn out is when you are using your own power. Atonement is trying to teach us that when we have unity in and with Yehovah's power, but we need to have a revelation of that. It just doesn't happen. We've got to have a revelation that our union with him is his power within us. We need to stop using our own power, which causes us to burn out, and instead let Yehovah's power flow through us where we go forth in the power of his might, especially in the circumstances of this current era. We need to use the power and the strength of Yehovah in all circumstances and not try to overcome the evil one of this world in our own strength. It doesn't matter what we see in the natural. We have to look at it as what He, Yehovah, sees in the spiritual. When the angel of Yehovah appeared to Yehoshua, just like the angel of Yehovah appeared to Moshe in a burning bush that would not burn out, there is the idea of victory over enemies as warriors in kingdom union that Yehovah is trying to show us. From the model of the throne, from a burning bush representing Yehovah's power on us that does not burn out, to a soldier with a sword raised. And when this angel of Yehovah speaks to Yehoshua, it is absolutely Yehovah speaking. The messenger is just that, a messenger. It's not Gabriel, it's not Michael, it's a messenger of Yehovah. Let's go to Shemot, Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The angel of Yehovah appeared to him, Moshe, in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not being burned up. And in Shemot, further down in verse 4, chapter 3, verse 4, when Yehovah saw that he had gone over to see, Yehovah called to him from the middle of the bush, Moshe, Moshe. And he answered, Here I am. And again in Yehoshua chapter 5, verse 15, the commander of Yehovah's army answered Yehoshua, Take your sandals off your feet, because the place you are standing is holy. And Yehoshua did so. Both were obedient. And that's a message for us. We have to be obedient when Yehovah speaks to us. That's how Beit Gan Eden was established. It was established by Yehovah speaking to me when I was in praise and worship. I had to be obedient. And we're coming up to our 24th year. Yehovah spoke to Yehoshua on holy ground. This shows us something else about union to kingdom glory. Just as speaking from the Ark throne shows a message about kingdom union to Yeshua, and the burning bush that doesn't burn out shows us how we can be used by Yehovah in His power and not burn out, speaking from the picture of Yehoshua, we see that on holy ground gives another clue about what the kingdom union does for us. Yehovah spoke to Yehoshua from a soldier. He spoke to one of His heavenly host, or His army. And we read in Shemot, Exodus 3, and verse 4, when Yehovah saw that he had gone over to see, Yehovah called to him from the middle of the bush, Moshe, Moshe, and he answered. When the soldier speaks to Yehoshua, it is again Yehovah speaking. In Yehoshua 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, Jericho had completely barricaded its gates against the people of Israel. No one left, no one entered. Yehovah said to Yehoshua, I have handed Jericho over to you, including its kings and his warriors. There is a message of union to Yehovah's kingdom glory that gives us power over anything and everything. Remember that in the beginning we were given dominion over all creatures, great and small. That dominion is still in place today, if we choose to use it. People try in their own strength to conquer evil in this world, and I'm talking about believers. But when the captain of Yehovah's army answered Yehoshua's question as to whether or not he was for Israel or for their enemies, the soldier said something unexpected. He said, no. What did he mean, no? He meant that he was neither captain, he meant that he was neither for Israel nor for the enemies. He was the captain. He was not someone who would follow Yehoshua, nor follow an enemy and help them. He would lead Yehoshua, since he came as captain, not as a lieutenant or a corporal. He was the captain and he would lead. We may sometimes think that Yah is our pie in the sky and is there at our beck and call for all of our situations. We want Yah to do this or to do that for us. No, he has come to lead us as a captain would lead his army. The children of Israel had never fought a city like this before. Yet Yehovah told them to go in and possess the place. Can you imagine Yehoshua's thoughts? He was not trained in warfare. He was trained under Moshe as a leader of Yehovah's people. He was trained in the Torah. He was trained and trained the people in Torah. How will they ever do this? They did not have catapults. They didn't have ladders to scale the walls with. They didn't have battering rams. I'm sure he must have thought it was a dilemma for him. They only had swords, spears and slings. And I don't think swords, spears and slings would knock down any wall. Yehoshua was not supposed to look at Yehovah and realize that Yehovah will join his army and be on his side. The army is not Yehoshua's. It is Yehovah's. Yah does not come to join us. It is he who is in control of our situations, not us. He knows the end from the beginning. We can only look back on the beginning. We can't look forward to the end. But Yehovah knows the end. The battle is therefore not Yehoshua's. The battles we fight are not ours. They are Yehovah's battles because he is king. This angel of Yehovah did not ask Yehoshua what instructions Yehoshua might want him to give him. He came to take over. He did not ask for Yehoshua's battle plan. He did not ask for Yehoshua's opinion. Yehoshua was to submit to this one and be servant, not vice versa. Yehoshua would take orders from him, and Yehoshua would ensure he realized all leadership was in this one's hands. Yehoshua received the message when he asked the man with the drawn sword, "Are you on our side or the enemy?" And in verse 14, he replied, "No. I am the commander of Yehovah's army. I have come just now." So Yehoshua fell down with his face on the ground and worshipped him and asked, "What does my Lord have to say to his servant?" Yehoshua was prepared to immediately serve this warrior, this captain. He called the captain Lord. He called himself servant. Just as Moshe ran the show and was corrected by Yah, Yehoshua had a similar idea and Yehovah corrected him. Both corrections regarded the person's mistaken idea of how to lead. The last time Yehovah showed himself on holy ground and commanded shoes to be removed was when he worked to deliver Israel and save them from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. But this time it was not salvation from Egypt by the blood that was necessary. This time it was victory over the enemy after they were saved. The blood had already been shed. They were now saved, so now they're into the next step. We need to realize that Yehovah is not just the leader that saves us from our sins, but that he remains our leader throughout our entire lives and leads every battle and makes all the strategies for us to follow. Yehovah is the author and finisher of our faith. We must stay united in him. Moshe saw union. It is what saves us. And Yehoshua sees power over enemies with union after salvation. And it is involved It involves the ark, the symbol of union by atonement. If we could really grasp the blessings of atonement, we would grasp so much in our walk with Yah. Both these men came to this holy ground and removed their shoes after a 40 years period. Moshe was 40 years in the desert after fleeing Egypt. According to Acts 7 and verse 22, it says, "So Moshe was trained in all wisdom of the Egyptians and became both a powerful speaker and a man of action." And further on in verses 29 to 30, it says, "On hearing this, Moshe fled the country and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. After 40 years, an angel appeared to him in the desert near Mount Sinai in the flames of the burning bush." And in Bamidbar Numbers chapter 14, verses 33 to 34, it says, "And your children will wander about in the desert for 40 years, bearing the consequences of your prostitutions until the desert eats up your carcasses. It will be a year for every day you spent reconnoitering the land that you will bear the consequences of your offences. 40 days, 40 years. Then you will know what it means to oppose me." And in Yehoshua chapter 5 and verse 6, "Because the people of Israel walked 40 years in the desert until the whole nation, that is the fighting men who had left Egypt, had died out because they had not heeded what Yehovah said. Yehovah swore that he would not allow them to see the land which Yehovah swore to their ancestors, and that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey." And this is the chapter where the captain of Yehovah's hosts comes to Yehoshua. 40 years is a generation in the scriptures, as we read in our last scripture. All the fighting men from Egypt died out in those 40 years in the wilderness. It is a whole life. We need to come to the realization that the part of us that wants us to do its own thing must die. That is why we have to die to self. I believe Yehovah died to self to allow his son Yeshua HaMashiach to lay down his life for us on the stake. There is no way a father can let his son die unless he dies to self, himself. We saw the example with Avraham and Yitzhak, where Avraham was about to take the life. This life must go, and there is a younger life inside us that was only born since the day we were saved. And the older part of us that was born on our birthday is a great hindrance to ourselves. It is only when the older part is dead and out of the way that we can fully yield to Yehovah and allow him to run our lives. The old man that was born in us is sin, must die. We need to die to old habits. We need to die to old methods of thinking. We need to take on the new creation that is within us using Yehovah's strength and not our own. Yehovah waited 40 years for the time Moshe could be correctly used of him. It was 40 years in the wilderness before Yehoshua met this soldier. Israel was supposed to enter the land, but they did not have the revelation of atonement union. Like Moshe, they only thought of their own strength. Moshe thought it would work, but at least the Israelites who came to the border of Canaan knew their own strength would not work. But they went too far the other way. They totally gave up and they could not enter the land. Remember, they saw the enemy as giants and themselves as grasshoppers. When we go to Bamidbar Numbers, chapter 13, verses 27 to 29. But what they told him was this: "We entered the land where you sent us, and indeed it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. However, the people living in the land are fierce, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, they saw Anakim there. Amalek lives in the area of the Negev. The Hitti and the Yevusi and the Emori live in the hills. The Canaanite live by the sea and alongside the Yarden. Caleb silenced the people around Moshe and said, "We ought to go up immediately and take possession of it. There is no question that we can conquer it." But the men had gone with him said, "We can't attack those people because they are stronger than we are." And they spread a negative report about the land that they had reconnoitred for the people of Israel by saying, "The land we pass through in order to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw there were giant. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, who were there from the Nephilim. To ourselves we looked like grasshoppers by comparison, and we looked that way to them too. The Ark of the Covenant was right there with them. They said the giants are stronger than them. They could not stop thinking of their own power, or should I say lack thereof. I want you now to recall that Yehovah, in his instructions to Yehoshua, told him to take the ark and carry it behind seven Kohanim, who would blow shofarim or ram's horns. Atonement means Yehovah's power is with us. Seven shofarim or horns is equal to perfect power. Seven is the number of perfection, hence the number for Yeshua. But the people did nothing with the ark on this day. It sat to the side, laying there with absolutely no significance. Both the symbol of kingdom atonement and union to the kingdom was abandoned when they were reconnoitering the land. But Yehoshua had the concept. In Bamidbar Numbers 14, verses 6 to 9, Yehoshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Yefune, said the detachment that had reconnoitred the land tore their clothes and said to the whole community of Israel, "The land we passed through in order to spy it out is an outstandingly good land. If Yehovah is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Just don't rebel against Yehovah, and don't be afraid of the people living in the land. We'll eat them up. Their defense has been taken away from them, and Yehovah is with us. Don't be afraid of them." This is the same Yehoshua, 40 years later, leading them into the promised land, knowing they distinctively feared the walls of the city. And when Yehovah told Yehoshua the key to victory, he told Moshe the key to delivering victory, the walls were specifically mentioned. In Yehoshua chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Then they are to blow a long blast on the shofar. On the hearing the sound of the shofar, all the people are to shout as loudly as they can, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. Then the people are to go up into the city, each one straight from where he stands." Later, when they carried the ark on their shoulders, they were signifying that because of union to kingdom glory, Yehovah is with us. We are one with Yah. In his power, the walls will fall. It was all a matter of obedience and trust. I truly believe that is where we are today. If we stay in obedience to Yehovah's word and trust him and his promises, all the walls that have been put up against us, barring us out of our jobs, to barring us out of our finances, not to forget the apartheid living situation, will, in capital letters, W-I-L-L, fall. It will all come tumbling down in Yehovah's perfect timing. After Israel heard that from Yehovah, that they would wander 40 years until they were dead, they then decided to go ahead and enter rather than die. They still don't get it. In Numbers 14, verses 39 to 45, when Moshe told these things to all the people of Israel, the people felt great remorse. Those arose early in the morning, came to the top of the mountain and said, "Here we are, and we did sin, and now we'll go to the place Yehovah promised. Moshe answered, why are you opposing what Yehovah said? You won't succeed. Don't go up there, because Yehovah isn't with you. If you do, your enemies will defeat you. The Amalekim and the Kenaanim are there ahead of you, and you will be struck down by the sword. The reason will be that you turned away from following Yehovah, so that Yehovah won't be with you. But they were presumptuous and went on towards the high parts of the hill country, even though the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah and Moshe stayed in the camp. So the Amalekim and the Kenaanim, living in that hill country, descended, struck them down, and beat them all the way back all the way to Homer. These men were still operating in their own strength. They went from thinking they could do nothing on their own to trying everything to still do it on their own. Both times they did not consider atonement union with Yehovah working with them, so they failed. Let us always realize that without Yehovah we can do nothing, but with him we can do all things. The hardest part is activating our faith by letting go of our own strength and depending on Yehovah. I think it is far easier for a woman than it is for a man, as a man more often than not feels he has to be the strong one and do everything in his own strength. Can I reassure you men in the room and those listening online? It is not your job to fix every problem. Talk to your wife. She is your helpmate. Two heads are far better than one. And when two pray together in agreement about a situation, Yehovah has promised us that he is in the midst of us. King Shlomo puts it very wisely in Kohelet or Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verses 9 to 12. Two are better than one, is that their cooperation efforts yield this advantage. If one of them falls, the other will help his partner up. Woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to help him. Again, if two people sleep together, they keep each other warm. But how can one person be warm by himself? Moreover, an attacker may defeat someone who is alone, but two can resist him, and a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Our three-stranded cord contains Yeshua. He is the strand in a marriage. He is the strand in union with Yehovah. We also know that Yeshua is interceding for us on the throne of grace. It was by his death and our acknowledgement of it for our salvation that brings us to the atonement power of our enemies. So thank you for listening. That's all I've got to say today. Unless anyone in the room's got any questions, I pray that you're having a blessed Shabbat rest. We're now going to move into the remembrance service. And we've got emblems here for ourselves. So if you've got emblems at home and you want to get some out quickly, please feel free to do so.
I'll read in the answers.
No, what are you doing? Go away.
On the congregational reading.
I'm not ready for you.
Sure.
Go away. I'm not ready yet. Pushing me. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers and they tied them on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I put my Torah within them and write it in their hearts. I'll be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, your Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid, for Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Zevaot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hamotzei lachem min ha'aretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Zevaot, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
Cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yehovah. Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam b'rei pri hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
So we'll just, I haven't got the best of me here.
True.
So we'll just have this. Okay. Yours. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for Yeshua, the three-stranded cord that we are attached to. Abba, we thank you that as we put our trust in Yeshua through our salvation and then in Yehovah, we know there is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. We know, Abba Father, that Yehovah is in control and that we can work and move through him, knowing that he knows the end from the beginning. Abba, we give you glory for this day. We thank you, Yeshua, for laying down your life, for being the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, so that we could have salvation and so that we could be united eternally with you and with the Father. We take these emblems now in remembrance of everything that Yeshua has done for us. Let us eat and drink together. Amen.
Yevarekka, Yehovah Yishmerekka, Ye'eh Yehovah Panavaleka V'Echunekka, Isa Yehovah Panavaleka V'Asumbeka Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. And now I'm going to move on to the doxology. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, to Yehovah alone, our deliverer, through you, Yeshua, the Messiah, our Adonai, be glory, majesty, and power and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Doesn't she do a great message? Thank you, Tamar.
Thank you.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to share a little bit with regard to what we had in the newsletter. On page 7 is a meme that came out, it might have been a month or something like that ago, and it had these funny, well, actually it looks like they're using carrots for every time he was saying jab. But I looked at it and I ran through the figures and I thought, I don't know where he's got all that information from. It's sort of like, is this real? This is like amazing, because his conclusion was that at the time, at the absolute most, 34% of Queenslanders are double jabbed. And they're inflating the numbers and they're lying, because they want us to believe that we are the majority. But we're not. Vaccinated people are not the majority. I keep holding the line. So I went and I hunted up the data and ended up, as I labelled it there on the opposite page, proof: Queensland claims on vaccination rates are exaggerated and most people are unvaxxed. That was really interesting. And as I pointed out there, I opened up with a figure of 4.4 million people in Queensland. And now, that's after deducting the numbers that are
under
people that are under 12. And it's 15%. And I've actually got the references there to the government website. So all of the figures that I've got in the text there are current as of basically yesterday when I was going through it. And it opens up with that proposition that they're claiming that 93% are vaccinated. And 93% of 4.4 million, which is after you take out the children, is about 4 million people. Now, they only have, their current number of administered doses is only just a little bit over 3 million, about 3.1. It goes up about 100,000 every day or so. But back to what I was saying, you've got the 4.4 million, so you're down to 4 million doses that are required to get to the 93% they're claiming, and then of course you've got 85% of them have been double vaxxed. So there's another 3.5 million or 3.4 million doses that have got to be added to the 4 million doses. So we're up to around 7.3 million doses needed to achieve what they're claiming. And yet when you go onto the website and have a look, and the same website, it's got even on the statistics where it says 93%, and then you just scroll down the website, and the links are all there. You scroll down the website, and there it shows all the various regions and how much have been done in whatever it is the last week or last couple of days, and then there's a total, and the total's about 3.2 million doses. So that's only 40, that's enough to do 40% or 44% of what we're saying. That's not even going to get to half the population. So they're probably exaggerating the numbers. They're telling us, I mean, Trump says the media is fake news. Boy, this is where you use their own evidence to prove it's fake. And that's about, 125% exaggeration on what's happening. And it's very encouraging.
And that's what I wanted to share with you. So be blessed and have a wonderful time. Have a look through those through the figures, and you can go on the sites and you can satisfy yourself. You can bring yourself up to date one more day. Because it's all live.
Melbourne is at a stage of calling in the unvaccinated to work in their hospitals because they don't have enough staff.
Yep.
So it's going to happen here.
And there's a lot of the people that have been vaccinated that are... Actually, if they're not fully vaccinated, they're classed as non-vaccinated. So the panic of the non-vaccinated is probably the ones that have had a reaction to a vax.
Excuse me, can I finish what I was saying?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Because they need them in the cardiac wards because of the problems with myocarditis and pericarditis. So they especially need the... nursing staff and doctors in those wards at this stage because of adverse reactions to the jab, not for COVID.
We my personal experience is that I know more people and within the family that have had negative reactions to COVID, to having the jabs, although they're inclined to attribute it to something else.
Wind it up.
But
Shavua Tov, everyone, have a great week.
She's off screen. Okay.
Shavua Tov.